Chapter 35. Planet Samast. Day 3 of the Siege of Inusu-Tor.
Images of the firefight still flashed inside Vara Nyendi's skull. Rebel spies, caught surveilling the Pinyamba spaceport and tracked to their hideout. Wild shots in deserted and silent city streets. A prisoner dredged up from rubble in the aftermath. She remembered the speeder humming beneath her, its gentle vibrations causing her kneecaps to buzz through her armor. Her helmet had been damaged by a stray bolt, causing the vocalizer to cut out. In frustration, she'd taken it off, tried to find out what the rebels were planning. "Don't get everyone caught in the crossfire," she'd said to the prisoner, trying to sound reasonable, trying to appeal to the compassion of a criminal and a killer. "You people signed up to die. The rest of this city didn't." There were career interrogators at the holding facility. Middle-aged men and women with bloodshot eyes and soft-spoken demeanors who never associated with the troopers. There hadn't been time for their methods. Not when roundups had already started and shots were being fired. Not when the rebels could move at any time.
"Even if we were planning something,"
the prisoner had said, twisting his bloody lips in a sneer, "I still wouldn't tell you." She'd wanted to scream at him. "Everyone who dies tonight dies because of you!" She'd wanted to show him the scar on her forehead, list the stormtroopers who'd been torn apart in the explosion aboard the rebel ship. She'd wanted to blame him for her uncle, still in a holding cell somewhere, probably forgotten in all the chaos. It wouldn't help. She'd forced herself to stay calm. She'd told herself she would find a way to make things right. That was her duty as a stormtrooper, as SP-475. Then the sniper had started shooting. She remembered all this because it was easier than thinking about the pain. The sniper's blaster bolt had just missed her right lung, fusing plastoid and bodysuit mesh to her skin. A medevac team had retrieved her within minutes and moved her to the garrison's emergency ward. There, she'd spent the early morning twitching anxiously, terrified of death and pain as droids cut away at the wound and administered Bacta and anesthetics. She'd whimpered and begged one of her comrades to stay with her, but no one could be spared from the patrols and arrests and roundups in the city. She'd been left to the machines and her nightmares. At some point, she'd been placed on a gurney and moved to a civilian clinic. She knew she'd asked why, but she couldn't recall the droid's answer. Something about new wounded incoming, about a battle on the mountain. The painkillers were warping her memory. Now she sat on the crinkling sheets of a hard mattress in a room lit by rows of blue-white bulbs. She was shivering, goosebumps sensitizing her bare arms. On her top, she wore only a bandage wrapped around her chest. No one had bothered to remove her armor below the waist. The clinic was staffed by a skeleton crew of Celestins and humans. Any droids would have been transferred to the garrison months earlier, and the remaining workers were surely locked in their housing blocks. Still, a young Celestin checked over Vara's bandage once an hour, and she could hear voices in the corridor. She'd been listening as much as she could while drifting in and out of lucidity. The voices were the only source she had for news regarding the lockdown, the roundups, and the rebels. They spoke about distant sounds and blaster shots, about emerald fires burning along the riverbank. They seemed to know little more than she did.
"I want to do something," a woman's voice said, "before they come for us." "There is nothing to do,"
the young Celestin replied.
"You're lying,"
the woman said. The voices faded away. Vara closed her eyes and tried not to feel the ache of every heartbeat. When the building shook, she woke up from a dream in which she was lying on the ground, repeatedly taking shots from a sniper. She'd felt quakes before, tremors through the caverns, and this one was minor, but she pushed herself upright, caught herself on the edge of the bed, and focused as if it meant the end of civilization.
The medics in the corridor were speaking again.
You knew Corgentain, said the woman.
Yes,
came the Celestine's reply.
We're not doing this anymore,
the woman said.
We're not sitting this out. Get a message to her. Tell her the clinic is open to anyone who...
Vara swayed when her boots hit the ground, balanced herself with a light touch to the bed. She forced herself to move into the corridor, one hand unclipping the blaster from her belt and bringing the cool metal in contact with her bare shoulder and chest. No one had taken her weapon away. No one dared to take a stormtrooper's weapon away. The blue-white light on the metal walls made the corridor look like a hologram. The two speakers, the human woman and the Celestine, stood at the far end. Vara licked her dry lips and hoisted her weapon.
I don't care what's going on out there, Vara said.
The two medics turned, terror plain on their faces. She tried to sound as authoritative as she could, half-naked and drugged and unsure of her own identity.
So long as this place is under my protection, she said, it still belongs to the Empire.